Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up shortly, I'll be giving you some details about a free talk on cancer and a substance that can cause significant health problems. But first, I've been speaking with Richard Halloran, a journalist with the website agriland.ie, about two interesting items that he's been writing about recently. The first deals with a planned major reduction in cow numbers in the Netherlands, and there could be a positive knock-on effect for Ireland. And then in a moment, we'll hear about the success of an organic milk producer who uses a different combination of clovers in grazing and silage swards that helps him to secure his total protein requirements from home-grown sources. But first, I began by asking him about this rather interesting development in the Netherlands. Richard Halloran, you had a piece recently on agriland.ie about consumers in the Netherlands who have made it clear that they would prefer milk produced from cows that have extensive access to grazed grass. And this is all tied in with moves to comply, I suppose, with the EU Nitrates Directive.
That's most definitely the case. Holland would have a history of being a very intensive farming industry, particularly where livestock would be concerned. That's dairy cows, not so much beef cattle, but certainly pigs and poultry. And as the years have gone by, the quantities of animal slurries and manures going out onto the land in many regions of Holland, which is quite dry, I mean, they've got very sandy soils over there, has those levels, particularly where nitrate, but phosphate in particular, would have increased. And to be honest with you, it would seem now as if the dairy industry over there has hit buffers on two levels or on two fronts. Number one, the EU has told them quite clearly that they must cut back on the amount of animal slurry and manure that's going onto the land. And that is actually going to necessitate, I think, a drop in cow numbers of around 175,000. And that's going to have to kick in later this year or possibly early in 2018. But as well as that, there's growing consumer awareness of just how intensive the dairy industry in Holland is and the impact that's having on the environment. And I think there's a growing awareness that putting cows out to grass, grazing cows, the way we would have it here in Ireland, is a much more natural way of producing milk. And from what I'm hearing, there is that move now. Repeated consumer surveys have highlighted the fact that this green grass approach, this healthy, almost natural way of producing milk, is what consumers in the Netherlands want. And one would assume they're prepared to pay for that as well.
And are we talking about an actual cull of cows over there?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I think that's they've hit the wall. I mean, they really have hit the buffers on this one. Yeah, the only way that they're going to get themselves back in line with the EU Nitrates Directive, which would allow them to have a derogation, as I understand it, is to cull dairy cow numbers. Yes.
So will this lead to opportunities here for milk producers in Ireland? Is the Dutch market going to open up to us if they've a drop?
One would assume that would be the case. Certainly, 175,000 dairy cows. Now, I'm not in the office at the moment, so I think that's a figure that's in my head. But it's of that magnitude, and that's roughly, if you look at it from a Northern Irish perspective, there are 300,000 dairy cows across Northern Ireland. I think 175,000 dairy cows equates to the dairy population, the dairy cow population of County Cork, which is by far the biggest dairying region on this island. So it is significant. So you'd have that kicking in, and 175,000 cows coming out of the system is going to bring about quite a significant reduction in milk output in that general sense. But one would also think that if the Dutch consumer wants milk produced from grazed grass, there might well be a marketing opportunity for Irish milk in that context.
Now, this was all raised at a conference that was held in Antrim, and I think concern also in Holland, the pig and poultry sectors. Well, obviously, there's a knock-on effect for them. They'll be under scrutiny as well.
They're under a degree of scrutiny, but not to the same extent as is currently the case with dairy. But I think there's a recognition that if dairy gets its house in order, then the overall pressure on the industry, on the livestock sector, that would include pigs and poultry, is going to drop accordingly as well.
Just changing tack slightly, and something else that you've highlighted recently. You did a piece about a farmer in Coleraine, Rex Humphrey. And, well, there's a combination there of different clovers being used in grazing and silage swards. And this is helping his whole organic milk production.
That's correct. Rex Humphrey farms outside of Coleraine. He's milking 300 cows, split into autumn and spring calving groups. He's part of a group of 10 or so dairy farmers in that County Derry, County Tyrone area that work within the umbrella of United Irish Organics. Now, Rex is a zealot for organic milk production, and the driver for the entire business is the use of white clover on his grazing swards and red clover then in his silage swards. He would also grow a fairly large proportion of the grain that he's using as a concentrate feed for the cows as well. But the system is very much forage driven. He has developed the breeding side of the herd to allow him to produce quite significant quantities. I think the figure is around 7,500 litres. The average figure per cow is coming in at the moment at around 7,500 litres from one and a quarter ton of concentrate. But as a zealot for organic milk production, has, to be honest with you now, he's farming in a very good area and would have quite an extensive land base. So it works for him in that sense that he has he's the raw material to work with in terms of having a very good organic farm.
Yep. And price always important, and I know the piece that you said, he's getting around, is it 41 cent a litre?
Yeah, 35.5 sterling is the price, which equates roughly to 41 cent per litre, yeah. And all of that would be going now for, all of that would be getting the organic premium. I mean, organic milk production has had swings and ebbs and flows over the past 10 years. There was a great push towards organic milk production north and south about 10 years ago. That came back a little bit because, I suppose, of the economic crash and people not having, you know, it's all about it's a milk that's being sold at a premium price. And it had gotten to a stage where actually those that had stuck with organic milk production were, at one stage, I think about 5 years ago, were only getting about 50% of their milk away at that organic premium. But according to what Rex was telling me last week, that has changed. There's been an upswing in demand for organic milk, mostly across in England, Scotland and Wales. He's putting 50% of his milk output directly into that liquid market across in England, around Cheshire and Manchester. There's a smaller quantity then would be going into the Republic of Ireland, and then what's left then is being sold on what he would call his home market in Northern Ireland.
And one would suspect, there is, you mentioned obviously the area where he's farming, the conditions of the land is good, but there would be certainly potential there for people in parts of Donegal, one would feel.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, East Donegal, I mean, there's great land in East Donegal, and that's not declaring anyone in the west of the county. But you need scope. I mean, you're talking about quite an... the stocking rate would be obviously that much lower than you would get on, a traditional, more economically run or family farm that would not be organic at this present moment in time, where the use of bagged fertilizer would be obviously part of the management mix. But as I say, red clover is the driver for the silage swards. He's getting 20% protein in the silage swards at the moment, and then white clover in the raising setup.
And that was Richard Halloran, a journalist with the agriland.ie website. The Ireland Northwest District Institution of Occupational Safety and Health, the world's leading professional body for people responsible for safety and health in the workplace, is hosting a free talk in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny next Monday on respirable crystalline silica, which is found in products like concrete. I've been speaking with Nigel Ashcroft, an independent safety consultant, about the dangers and the controls to prevent exposure. Nigel Ashcroft, there's a free talk coming up at the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny next Monday, which will be of interest to many of our listeners. The topic is respirable crystalline silica and other causes of cancer. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit more.
I will, Chris, yes. It should be interesting to most people, actually. Respirable crystalline silica is the thing that causes silicosis. I grew up in Wales, South Wales, in a mining village, so I know a lot about silicosis from the experience of my forebears. And it's one of the causes of cancer. Now, the reason we're doing this at this time is because very soon, mid-2017, there's going to be new legislation which will classify respirable crystalline silica to the same level of carcinogenicity as asbestos. Now, we managed to manage asbestos over the years, although it's still very deadly. But the silica thing is going to be much, much more difficult to manage. So it's really important people know what to do about it. I'm bringing up a lady from the HSA who specializes in this.
So give us a couple of examples of where one is most likely to come in contact with the substance.
Right, okay. Well, it's any time that you cut, drill, even chiseling to an extent, anything which has crystalline silica in it, and there's an awful lot of things in that have crystalline silica. So the definition is any breaking, crushing, grinding, or milling of silica material, which includes concrete, aggregates, or mortar, and any drilling, chiseling, and some plastics even. So basically, any bit of stone that you have, any concrete, has got crystalline silica in it to different degrees. And that's one of the things people find out on the day is, you know, how much proportionately you have crystalline silica in different materials.
So there could be people out there quite unaware of the dangers, maybe doing a bit of work in their farmyard. And what precautions should one be taking?
Well, one thing, people tend to wear masks when they're caught in dust, but the trouble with crystalline silica is it's invisible. One grain of crystalline silica is the same size as a grain of tree pollen, and you know we don't see tree pollen in the atmosphere. So that's the problem, it's invisible. So really, you say anything that causes dust, you know, is likely to have it in it. One of the reasons asbestos is so important, so dangerous, is because that's got very, very small fibers. And the nose hairs and even the respiratory tract don't actually trap those fibers. They go right down into the lungs. And the same thing is true of silica, of the crystalline silica. Respirable means that you can actually breathe it right down. That's what respirable means. So it can be anyone that's using it. Obviously, the more you're exposed to it, as with every carcinogen, you're more likely to be affected. But it doesn't mean that one single exposure can't affect you.
You're hosting this free talk in the Mount Argyll Hotel next Monday with registration from 6:30, and the talk will be from 7 until 8 o'clock. And there'll be information provided about how to protect yourself and the other dangers there.
Could be anyone, you know, particularly, you know, you mentioned farmers who are using a consort is a deadly machine as far as this is concerned. So say it's anyone who really does any drilling, cutting, machining of any kind of concrete or stone material. And there's a bit more than that, because, you know, I did a talk on cancer before and how cancer is caused. I'll be doing that, or a small part of that anyway, 15 minutes to 20 minutes from 7 o'clock. And then the lady, Michelle McDermott from the HSA, will be talking afterwards about the respirable crystalline silica. So I'll be talking from 7 o'clock on cancer, generally how cancer is caused and how you can prevent cancer from all sorts of sources.
Nigel Ashcroft, an independent safety consultant. And now on to the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steers making €3.95 a kilo, heifers €4.05 to €4.10 a kilo. Bulls U-grade €4 a kilo, R-grade €3.90 a kilo, and U-grade €3.80 a kilo. And cows U-grade €3.70 a kilo, R-grade €3.55 a kilo, and O-grade €3.35 a kilo. Sheep prices, spring lamb €6.20 to €6.40 to 20 kilos, hoggets making €5.20 a kilo to 23 kilos, and ewes €3 to €3.10 a kilo. Well, that's it for tonight's edition of Farming News and Views. Many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.